Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to Podvincible, a podcast about Invincible on Prime Video. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, and I'm Podvincible.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about, season three. Throw things out there. Just like Mark does on this episode of Invincible, season three, episode two, A Deal with the Devil, if you haven't watched it on Prime Video, is the second of three episodes that debuted on premiere day. So check it out. Watch it. We're going to spoil it. Broad overview here. The big things that are going down this episode is we get Cecil's origin story. We get a flashback on that, and that ties into what's going on in the present. And this ties into the present, where we get to see Mark pushing back against Cecil in a big way, fighting the Reanimen, leading to a big fight with the Guardians of the Globe and the breakup of the Guardians of the Globe by the end of the episode. But perhaps even bigger at the end, after two seasons and change, Eve agrees to go on a date with Mark, and they smoocheroo. Pete is going...
Deal with the devil.
That was the deal. I was just going to make that joke. That was the deal with the devil.
As we always do on this podcast, let's start with the smooching, the thing that everybody wants to talk about, or at least we do. Pete, you okay?
Smoocheroo. No, man, I'm not okay. He was like, yeah, and then there was Amber... but you mean the most to me, Eve. I was like, oh, dude.
Man, I can't believe how hard you're sticking to it, the Amber trutherism here. How far do you think this will last? Because Amber, she's gone, my
she's
man.
Gone, she's gone, bro. So gone. She didn't even get like a flashback anymore. Not even in the previously on, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there will be a, we'll see her. They'll bump into her at one point, I think. Mm-hmm. But now when you wake up in the morning and do your previously on, so go through all your exes, do you touch on everyone?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the proper thing to do. Every morning. That's right.
You have a candle lined up for each of them in front of bathroom mirror, right?
Thank you for your service.
Careful, that's a fire hazard, Pete. Thank you for your service.
Appreciate what you've done for me.
We'll end this episode listing all of them, right, Pete?
Nope. Yeah, no way in hell.
All that is. It's fine. It shouldn't take long.
You don't know that.
Exactly. Ever since Pete moved out to the country, we don't know what he's up to. He could have just an absolute... birthday candle pile of new relationships.
Buy them in bulk. Hey, can you deliver my bulk candles again today?
Yeah. Costco boyfriend.
This really went off the rails quickly here. I think they... I mean, if you're into this type of thing, great. You know what I mean? I'm happy for people.
Type of thing?
What do you mean?
What type of thing?
Yes. It's just when, you know, one relationship gets cast aside. I mean, I guess I'm the Amber of this episode. I mean, I guess the show's going to go on without me because what I'm here for is no longer relevant.
Can I say something maybe controversial? I understand where Pete is coming from. Here's the thing. We've always known Eve and Mark is going to happen. It's based on the comic books. Spoilers here, but they go the distance. It's the end game shit.
That's the thing that's crazy that, Pete, you're like so upset. I'm like, you've seen this coming for so long, so
hard. Yes, but this is different from the comic book.
Yes, this is different from the comic book. They're finding their own way. But I think, yes, we know Eve and Mark are going to go to the end of the show. That's fine. That's what's going to happen. We always knew that's going to happen. But like we talked about with the previous two seasons, they did a really good job of getting us into the Amber and Mark relationship. It felt real to the point that I personally, watching the show, did not feel anything between Eve and Mark for most of the episodes. I think because they made a real effort to make Amber and Mark work as a couple, to the point when they get together at the end here, I was like, well, finally this happens. Also, I'm feeling nothing from this relationship.
Really?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, though. Eve is the best character. She's the most human person on this show. Like, there's a little scene in this episode.
Hold to on. Differ, Amber's well, actually human, so what are we talking about right now?
Well, technically, most of them are human, or Viltrumite. But the short scene with her and the architecture class, I was like, great moment. And just Eve is just like a whole person. Mm-hmm. In an episode where everyone is being so hard with their sort of take and philosophy that is just creating disaster. And it's so nice to see Eve there. I think the scene where they get together, post-credit scene, very important to watch. I like they show like two credits. They're like, okay, here it is. Here's the part. So they don't lose anybody. But it was a little like, I think.
Lackluster?
Well, then there's an inevitability to the relationship for the characters because of the time travel they've had. And the way that Eve's like, all right, let's give it a shot. I was like, it's a little bit damaged, the romance. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's still, I really liked that scene of them getting together. And I think this is great news for the future of this program.
I agree with you 100% on Eve. Eve, great character. Mark, great character. But when they were trying to sell me on the inevitability of it, it's always been you type deal with this romance, I just haven't felt that on the show. I felt it reading the comic book for sure. But again, I think like Pete's saying, it's down to they did a really good job with Amber and Mark and downplayed Eve and Mark because of that. So for the show,
and it's hard too, because it's like all of a sudden Mark's like, oh, you're a version of you from a different world showed up and was like, yo, you got to do something because there's feelings here. And he's like, oh, maybe. And then he got beat the fuck up. And in the middle of that, he's like, hey, I love you. Wait, what? And he's like, yeah, when I was getting beat up, I was thinking about you. Okay, cool. But that's a lot.
Like, is that romantic? Is that a romantic thing to say?
Well, I mean, that's what he said. And then they're like, oh, I guess we're dating now. Yes, we are. We should kiss. That's
he should have waited like a second for his little gross butt bruises to heal a little bit.
I agree with that. I did not like the amount of swelling. Well, they
slowly went down, so it was less butt on face, but it was still, you know.
Butt on face.
Yes.
The thing is, though, what you're saying is true. They have downplayed the inevitability of their relationship, but I think that makes for a better story. And the fact that we are like still we'll like see. Coming in, we're coming in, and like you guys are dubious about this a little bit. Pete's downright anti Eve. So like I feel like that's actually a good thing for storytelling.
What are you, God?
Yeah, we're the Doobie Brothers. What are you?
I'm the snake.
We're saying
and I'm
opposite
like,
things.
Bite this apple, dude. Bite this apple, my man.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to sell us in, like, for the life of the show, it is going to be Mark and Eve, so that's absolutely fine. But, yeah, I think it's interesting to me to look at the difference in terms of how it feels watching the show versus the comics, particularly because, like, I've been reading a bunch of different Reddit threads and posts from people being like, hey, I watched the show. Should I read the comics or vice versa? And my answer beyond, you know, being a tag for comic books, of course, is like, yes, they're actually different. Like, they're going to make you feel different. Even if you think you know the story, it happens in a different way and it's executed in a different way. The pacing is different. So I want to have an emotional response for Eve and Mark. I did it, but I think as an intellectual response, it's interesting.
When I'm watching a romance, I love being intellectual about it. And being like, that's just two tongues touching.
Well, there is no romance here, bro.
That's tongues touching.
We don't feel any heat yet, is my point. This has been very – I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the show. I'm saying
you don't feel any heat, and I'm telling you, I thought their kiss was nice.
Well, it was. It was nice. Two people on a bridge, that's very romantic, but it was like –
Or it's the plot of It's a Wonderful Life, which is not romantic.
I wasn't feeling anything. My point is that hopefully the romance will come. But to Alex's point, like so far there hasn't been much. So I'm excited for maybe something. But what's nice to get to Zalbatron's point is if you read the comic books, what's nice is you have this kind of base for where the story could go. And what's interesting is to see the different – choices that this show makes. And I do feel like it's an evolution of the story, which is nice. We're getting a real cool version of the story that we've originally read in the comics.
Well, and what's best about it, Pete, is I think now Amber's single and you can light a little candle for her in your thing.
You don't think I won't? You don't think that's the first thing I did today when I got up?
Exactly. Oh, wow. As you were going through the previously on.
That's right.
One last thing that I'll say on this particular point is I always do appreciate how quickly the show gets to stuff. You know, they hit this point halfway through where Ea says, I don't know, I feel weird about the whole future me thing. I'm not sure if this is going to work. Let's just be friends. They could have had any other show could have had that go on for episodes or the entire season. The fact that by the end of the episode, post credits, they're like, nope, going forward, let's move past this plot point. I like that a lot.
Agreed. And let me say, no one who watches this show thinks it does not go hard as fuck. Like, this episode, I thought was a great episode. One of the best of the whole series.
Ooh.
But man.
Take it easy, Bridge
man,
lover.
Was it a dark story from top to bottom, except for the romantic moment, a couple other things. But I thought it was really well told.
Wait, so just to hear what you said it was a great episode except for the post-credit sequence is what you just said.
No, I said it's a great episode, a very dark episode, except the post-credit was not dark. It was bright and about love.
Lightly.
About passion.
It was lightly romantic. It was lightly romantic.
I have a feeling that Pete still only heard part of what you said, but I think that is a nice segue to talk about the bulk of the episode, because I agree with you. You know, we talked a little bit about with the premiere how here's a lot of stuff. Just things are happening in the world of Invincible. And this one, it really focused in thanks to the dichotomy of the Cecil flashback where he's saying, I don't want
young Cease.
Yeah, young Cease.
I actually call him Stead Boy rather than Stead Man.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I mean, let's talk about that sick mullet, dude.
Let me just finish what I'm saying just to set this up before we start jumping all over the place again. The dichotomy of having young Cecil say, no, I will never use these bad guys. How dare you? I can't use this. To eventually coming around it, contrasting with Mark, who we talked about last episode, maybe is kind of in the wrong here, potentially, at least the way that the show is showing it. It gives it this really interesting moral and philosophical bent, as well as an ethical bent, that spills over in a big way into the Guardians of the Globe. There is still a lot of things going on in the margins, including the Eve Mark thing, but that focus of the episode was really nice and really fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Okay.
A couple things that you said there. First off, I do think it was a great young Cease ep. Like, it was great to see. And what was interesting is they kind of led us to believe, because young Cease is going through exactly what Mark goes through. Like, to the point where young Cease murdered those two, I'm saying Nazis? That power couple that kind of seemed like maybe they were...
Yes, the Order of the Free Fist.
Yeah, the Free Fisters, whatever. The point is that...
Would you take that, by the way, if somebody offered it?
No, good. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. I was hoping we could move right past that, but I guess not. We haven't matured that much. Nope. My point is...
Oh, since earlier in this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, we're going backwards on a maturity scale.
Oh, man. My point is, they could have had like a real interesting conversation where Cecil was like, hey, man, I went through exactly what you're talking about. I thought so-and-so was bad. I came back. I've learned from it. You know what I mean? This is why I'm making the decision. But they didn't do that. Like, Cease the whole time was like, every time they could have talked, he was like, fuck you, you're not following orders. It was like, Cease, what are you doing? You went through this exact same thing. You would think the grizzled Cease, who kept a little bit of his cheek, would have, tried to come at Mark a little different way, because his diplomacy, as we saw in the prison episode, is impressive when he wants to kind of work that angle. But he didn't. It really felt like he was pushing Mark away.
Well, and I really liked, like both of you are saying, like, the last episode positioned Cecil as sort of maybe in the right, and Mark was being sort of very adamant about his, you know, philosophy of, like, if you do a thing wrong, I can never work with you, with Darkwing, not Duck. But then this episode, we see that they're both solidified in their takes, and they can't do what you're saying, Pete, come together over like very common ground. We get to see Cecil, like you're saying, go through the exact same thing. And then we also get to see what hardened him. Almost dying, keeping a piece of his dead skin to remember that, killing random, shooting people in the head.
Yeah, he straight up murdered him, just like Mark was doing. Like, it wasn't like, hey, let me think about that. It was two to the dome piece.
Yeah, you know, and I really like that because cold-blooded. That speaks to the way a lot of things go in the world where people just can't step out of their spot even a little bit. And that's why I feel like this episode was so good, because it let us see that from both sides. See a bunch of people caught in the middle like we are as an audience being like, this just seems bad. I think Rex speaks for all of us when he says, oh, fuck, in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, it is really fascinating. I'm curious to hear from you guys, because my general impression, and I was working through a lot of stuff in my head while I'm watching this episode, but it is... From my perspective, it is wrong to kill people. You should not kill people, even if you're in a situation.
You were questioning that during this episode?
No.
Yeah, Alex is chained. He has a gun to someone's head.
But I think the thing that's interesting here is, in the case of the show and in the world of the show, at the same time as I believe that is true, both Mark and Cecil are wrong. Like, they're right about some things, but like we talked about before, Mark, I think, is overcompensating for the death of Angstrom Levy, where he's like, no, I'm the moral authority in every situation here. We're going to shut this down. And Cecil, I think, like I said last episode, this comes down a lot to Walton Goggins' vocal performance, is giving this very soft, like, listen, man, I'm trying to work with you here, particularly at the beginning. He's like, yes, I have the Reanimen. That is to protect me from you, because you are screaming at me and are being violent and have already broken in here in a very big way. So both of them are making sense, but both of them are amping up the situation one after the other until they're both in the wrong, leading to this breakup from Guardians of the Globe. So I guess I'm just sort of reiterating what you guys are saying.
It was an interesting, too, the way they kind of put it, like Mark was flying to the Guardians, and then you saw he used his, you know, buzzer that he installed, which super dick move.
And, I feel bad because I have one in both of you guys, and I feel weird.
No, that's fine. We could go rogue at any point.
I almost pressed it a minute ago, and Pete was doing all that amber stuff.
out of control. Also weird. A weird way to say that, where you're just like, it's deeper than you can reach. What is that? That's a weird, creepy way to phrase that.
Well, you don't want to reach into your ear and try to find him.
Yes, I think what he's saying is, like, it is not a subdermal implant. It's in the middle of his brain. So he can't, like, reach into his brain and then ultimately immediately...
Still, it's a creepy way to phrase that.
It's a flex. That's a flex. A lot of surgeons do that stuff. Like, good luck.
Just out of reach? They put stuff just out of reach, those surgeons?
Yeah.
Most of the stuff surgeons do is not like, hey, real quick, you could rip this out if you want to.
Yeah. And a lot of surgeons just put stuff in when they feel like it, like little
signature. Yeah, when nobody's looking, they're just,
like there's something small, just like a marble or a baby tooth.
Have you ever played the game Operation? That's based on real life.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a documentary game.
$1,000 fee. I'd kill for that rate. Water on the knee.
Yep. What did you guys think about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Wait, hold on. I did want to say
I was in the middle of making a point that was interesting the way that that it was cool because it was like, oh, he's not gonna get to the Guardians. He gets zapped and then it cuts away and I was like, cuts to the Guardians. I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice too, where like he doesn't get to kind of reveal, but then I thought it was really well played, the kind of, the side choices and who makes what decision. And then it was hilarious. You a cold fish, man, but all right. Yeah. Just some real interesting kind of like lines in the sand being drawn.
Everyone has a in the gray take, which I thought was cool. I thought Cecil had a really nice hit on Mark when he was like, oh, you were off reforming your dad in space and I'm out here trying to keep the planet safe. And I was like, it's fucked up. His dad killed so many people and he's sort of forgiven him enough. So like there, it's great in that way. But Cecil sort of makes the error where he knows he has this nuclear option of the sound device in Mark. And rather than finish the conversation, he gets impatient and he needs control because of the person he is. And I think that's what ultimately makes him a villain, is that he does that and that messes up everything. And now he's on a dark path.
Also, he was like, hey, man, just go home. So Mark flies away and then he zaps him. He's like, get back here. I was talking to you. It's like, well, fucking make up your mind, Cease. Like, what are you even doing out here?
Yeah.
Jumping to the Guardians of the Globe, because I think we should talk about that breakup a little bit. I assume this was intentional. I don't know if it was, because they didn't necessarily draw a line under it. But I do think there was something interesting in the fact that Omni-Man killed and broke apart the previous Guardians of the Globe in the very first episode. And here, Invincible asking them for help is responsible for once again breaking up the Guardians of the Globe. Though, I guess for more positive reasons, for them to stand up to the Global Defense Agency. So I thought that was fascinating. I thought that also the lines of who left and who stayed was interesting as well. Yeah. I mean,
Sonic the Hedgehog wanting to stay was kind of funny.
Yes, Ben Schwartz, very funny on this show. I do think we're more on the side of the people who leave, right? Like, who are now Teen Team, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I actually forget what happens in the comic here, so I'm excited to watch this plot line. But the scene where I really like, actually, first, that the way they have a very childish argument about all of this shows, like, people in the middle between two, like, you know, philosophically different factions are often like, I don't know, but I'm mad at you, actually, about this other thing. And it ends up devolving into a squabble. That was cool. But there's just a darkness around that scene of the remaining Guardians and Darkwing entering the fray.
Not Duck.
Not Duck.
Yeah.
You got to be clear. Because
I also thought, I'm not going to say anything here for anybody who hasn't read the comics, because I don't want to spoil it. But I did think something that certainly raised my eyebrows was the thing where Black Samson tells Rudy, hey, there's something else going on here while you're leaving. And he says, someday I'll need Invincible on my side. Not to spoil my Invincible moment of the episode, but I think that's probably what I'm going to call out.
Well, you just spoiled it. So you better come up with a new one by the end of the episode, because we already
have that. Alex, you better. I'm going to press the button. I'm going to press the button. I have it right here.
Ah! Ouch. Ouch. Can I reach it, though?
You're a horrible actor, man.
Well,
oh, my God.
Well, I will say,
25 years of Stella Adler, and it's still not paying off.
Wow, you're still paying for that. Wow.
It's still paying for it.
The sound that my device emits isn't a lobster that is your weakness from under the sea. It's the needle drops from the TV show Invincible, which continue to be not good.
Oh, come on, dude. The not the guy negative playing was kind of fun. I thought, I wrote down that was kind of a fun moment. Not the guy.
These needle drops just don't work, and I feel like maybe it's part of the story. Maybe they come from a dimension where music is bad.
You don't understand what's happening. Is somebody's watching the show and then hitting play when the cool stuff happens. They're like, edit it. You know what I mean?
And that's what I think is a bad needle drop.
Old school method of it. Reminds me of what I used to do back in the day. You know?
Well, you saying there's a person watching me watch this and like, all right, hit it.
Yeah.
Well, what do we think about Debbie goes on a date? That seems
that was just such a random, like, thing in the middle of all this madness. It's like, and also,
right, that was very last episode to me, very like just the way they are in the comic books. It's like, and here's a page of Debbie goes on a date with Paul. Do you remember that plot line? No,
here we
go.
And it was also that I didn't feel like it connected much to anything else going on or thematically or anything. It was just like, this just happened. It's just like something to check off on your bingo.
I'd be really fascinated to sit inside the Invincible writer's room and just know how they work it. Because, like, you know, we've said incessantly, the comic book is very much like, we're just checking in on five things this issue. See you next time. And that's cool. We love the comic book. But you usually don't do that in a TV show. Like, just imagining this note card of Debbie and Paul go on a date and being like, yeah, sure, just throw that in the middle of the Guardians of the Globe.
Put it in there.
Why not?
Post-credit? Drop it? Just insert it in next episodes previously on without showing them. We'll be like, sure.
Yeah, that happened, fine. I guess.
But, guys, I can't believe we haven't talked to one of the most titanic moments. Donald and Cecil shaking hands for the first time. Pete, that's the romance you've been missing. That's the chemistry I feel like maybe lit you up. Light a candle on your friendship.
You're talking about the first time Cease met Mark's dad?
That's Alt Donald.
Yes.
Yes, he shakes hands multiple times in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Donald. We got to see the OG Donald before he was murdered.
I love a full-fleshed Donald.
Oh, yeah, a fleshy Donald?
My Donald.
So new, so fresh.
Hashtag full-fleshed Donald. That's shout out out there. Let's get real.
That was adorable. That was kind of it did warm the cockles of my heart.
Excuse me?
What?
It warmed the cockles of his heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an expression.
Yeah, no, I know.
What's your deal? What's your problem?
Don't
make me press this. I thought you were classically trained.
Don't make me press this, Justin.
Well, you have something in me?
Yeah, and it does actually play stuff from A Lobster Under the Sea, except it's a crab under the sea, and his name is Sebastian.
Oh, wait, Under Dussie?
Under Dussie.
Wow.
Seaweed's always greener. That's all the hints I'm going to give you about what happens when I press that button.
Kiss the girl. I said to Mark.
Just talking about the flashback stuff real quick, I did think that was really nice. The fight at the beginning, like we sort of touched on, was so gross but great in the way that so only a Zimple could do. That was excellent because legitimately I was like, I don't know what's going to happen second to second in this scene. Yeah. I thought that was so well done. All the stuff in the jail was really good as well. Like cutting to, wow, not only did he figuratively clean up the jail, but he literally has a guy sweeping up the jail in there. Was
how did he do that?
It is funny. They're like, 3 years, I can't tell you what I did. I was like, how did you get these criminal psychopaths to start doing spray paint?
Also, that giant in your cell, like, how the fuck did you get that?
I don't know. Good friends. Yeah, we shared a small cell on a cruise ship once, Pete, and you know it could have gone either way.
I also really like the moment towards the end of the episode. We mentioned him meeting Omni-Man, and we get to see the first arrival of Omni-Man on Earth. He's fighting a monster. The twist and turn that scene were so good, just because you get Cecil going out there to show off that, like, yeah, I'm good enough to lead the Global Defense Agency. Shaking Omni's hand, bringing him on board, but also immediately not trusting him and clocking like, no, he's lying about everything. Let's see how far this goes.
I agree. I thought that was such a smart thing that he's been on to it the whole time, because the way the story's played is that Nolan's betrayal was such a shock to everyone. But actually, he was already in place with it from the moment he shook Omni-Man's Omni hand, and he was on to it.
Any other moments from the episode you guys would call out?
Would you think about the kind of like action movie tag that we got twice in this episode?
We can be the good guys or the guys that save the world. Can't be both.
Yeah.
Great. Smart. Good. Well done.
I feel like you can. You can be both.
Well.
That's sort of the philosophy of the whole show. Like, that's what.
Like, yeah. What happened? I mean, did you guys just turn into cats?
Alex is just screaming for a second.
What was that? What just happened?
Justin, like, half pressed the button on my trigger.
Oh, no. What the fuck?
In a superhero world, I think that we expect that to not be true, but that's not.
Exactly what Invincible is fighting for, though, is to be able to be both.
You know? So, well, and I think that's sort of the point of Invincible. And I think, you know, he's in this middle ground where he is killing people that he feels like he can't do anything else for, and then being very strict about, like, that person killed someone.
But so,
I feel like that will eventually boil down to he is a good guy who will do the right thing. But Invincible has always been like, sometimes a good guy does need to kill this dude, not a normal superhero idea.
But you don't think it's interesting where we had a young Cease and he was invincible in philosophy and ideas. And then one guy gives him a sick tagline. He's like, well, you're right. Fuck it. Fuck this whole thing I was fighting
That's
for.
That's why taglines are so important. Like when in the end of Blade, when he says some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill, that changed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always trying to ice skate uphill.
How's that working?
It's very hard.
Oh, okay. And you are some motherfucker, I believe?
I am a bit of a motherfucker. It's hard to find a hill of ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because ice is flat usually. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to Antarctica. They're basically all hills of ice down there.
Yeah, it's all
bergs that. Even. Yeah.
And when you do go down there, tell the penguins I say what's up.
What?
Just tell the penguins I say what's
you,
up.
All of the penguins.
I know some of them. There's a good chance they know
you
me.
Think they know you think me. The ones that know you talk about you to other penguins?
I'm sure they do.
When people say like I'm big in Japan, you're like big with penguins.
100%.
That is ridiculous.
You see if you can find a penguin I call Little Tuxedo.
Oh my God. Whack whack.
You think when the penguins are all hanging out talking shit about humans, they're like, well, there's this one guy, Alex, he's pretty cool.
Why are the penguins talking shit about humans, Pete?
Why wouldn't they talk shit about him? What else are they going to talk shit about?
Bears? They can just talk.
Bears eat them. Very rarely eat them.
They're probably talking shit about polar bears for sure.
Oh, my God.
All right, third is going to be humans. Can we agree with that?
Third?
What was second? Did you leave a spot there for a penguin thing?
Well, yeah,
like
maybe food. If they got beef with another, if they're like, all right, well, there's polar bears that we hate, and we also don't like seals.
I like that you just left the slot for them to have another complaint. And
I imagine probably orcas, right? Don't orcas eat penguins?
All right, fine. Orcas
everything
too.
Eats penguins. Penguins right. are the chickens of the sea. I feel like one of the slots has got to be, I wish we could fly. Don't you think?
I'm sorry for somebody listening to this.
Penguins are the Aquaman of the sea because they're really good underwater, but that's it.
We're supposed to be talking about Invincible.
Okay, well, one last thing that I wanted to say about the episode, just that ties into the discussion we were having pre-Penguins discussion, is I am sick to death of superheroes doing the should superheroes kill debate. Like, this is going back so far, at the very least, to Arrow season one, and I'm sure even before that.
Yeah.
And it's been done to death, particularly on superhero TV. But I think Invincible is finding an interesting way to hit that because it is tying into the characters and it is preventing this philosophical debate that is not as easy as superheroes never kill. And that's the thing that we're going to head up on. Whether that's kind of what I was trying to say before is like, morally, whether I personally agree or not, this show is presenting things in a nuanced and different way where that is not necessarily as black and white for the people in the show.
Unless they come into a really cool catchphrase and then all that goes out the window.
Yes.
Well, and I mean, to take it seriously, though, I think it is an interesting take on it because Mark does kill, mm-hmm. but still claims to say superheroes shouldn't kill. And I feel like Batman isn't like
you get an accidental one. You know what I mean?
You get a mulligan?
Yeah, you get a mullies.
That's true in real life, too.
Yeah, you have a murder mulligan? Have you used it?
If it's an accident, yeah, you got to get an okay. Someone's got to okay the mullies, but yeah.
Who's okaying?
Like whoever's around, you're like, that's a molly, right?
A random person can give you the thumbs up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called a citizen's mulligan.
Yeah, exactly. Alex knows the rule.
For sure.
Wow. That sounds like a country rule. We live in the city, Pete, where you can't just...
Unlimited mulligans in the city.
Exactly.
No rules, just right. New York City.
You can't kill anyone at an Outback Steakhouse, and their family will be like, thank you.
Wow, dude.
Thank you. More Bloomin' Onion for us. Any final things about this episode before we start to wrap up here?
No, but now I just want Justin to die in an Outback Steakhouse.
odds are I will.
You've been saying that for 18 years. Why don't we talk about our Invincible moment of the episode? I already said mine, and I'm sorry, Pete. I'm sticking with it.
Oh, boo. Wow.
Yeah, the whole robot episode. Saying he needs Invincible for something later is definitely a big thing to keep your eye on going forward. Justin, what about you? What's your Invincible moment of the episode?
The kiss, the Adam Eve
architecture class, that barely counts.
It counts big time. I think they're going to follow up on it in the main episode, probably in number three, coming soon. Right now, I thought that was really, really well handled. I like the way they didn't make it hyper romantic, given the circumstances. They played it as they should have. Great moment. Looking forward to more kissing.
I think that the Invincible moment was the family meeting where we kind of had to tell Oliver to stop flying and put his feet on the ground and keep it cool for a little bit. Because as we know from the comics, Oliver is a big kind of chess piece on the board, and where he goes and what happens with him is going to be huge.
Yeah, we really didn't talk about him at all, so thanks for bringing that up, Pete. And if you would like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Invincible, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay invincible.
Pete, before you list all of your ex-girlfriends, just real quick, no one's hitting the full-fleshed Donald hashtag, so if you guys would just jump on it.
I'll get on it. I'll just press this button here on my... Oh, no! There you see her sitting there across the way.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.